It's a Wednesday morning on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com and our chance to visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. So if you follow the Cardinals, you love knowing and finding out about minor leaguers every single day of the year. There is content on the St. Louis Cardinals and in particular, the minor league system at TheCardinalNation.com. And Brian Walton joins us. He runs that website. It's a labor of love for Brian. And you know, Brian, the seasons now are in full swing. Happy Wednesday and good morning to you. And let's talk a little bit about what has stood out thus far in the minor leagues. Who's caught your eye at any level right now in the minor leagues with the Cardinals?
Well, certainly the guy to talk about is the Cardinals' first-round draft pick last year, Nolan Gorman. Doing a very nice job in his return to Peoria, batting over 300. Has 4 home runs, 15 RBI, and playing good defense from all accounts. The only concern a little bit is 21 strikeouts for Nolan Gorman in his first 22 games. A little bit high, but he's still young. He's got a little bit more time to spend in Peoria before I think he'll get promoted. But he's off to a very, very nice start this year for them.
When you've watched guys get promoted, how quickly does that happen, even for a guy that's 18 years of age like Nolan Gorman?
Well, the Cardinals tend to promote pitchers a little more aggressively early in the year. Given the fact that Gorman only spent 1 month at Peoria last year and it was kind of uneven, I think, you know, we're going to see him get maybe as much as a half season is my guess before they, you know, even think about moving him up to Palm Beach. But again, that's just my opinion. I haven't talked to anybody about it, nor would they tell me anyway. But, you know, there's no reason to rush Nolan Gorman. Now let's go and get some success at Peoria, you know, and really be consistently good for a longer period of time, and then, you know, consider whether to move him up. And just, you know, case in point, last year when Montero was there, he made the jump all the way from the Gulf Coast League, but, you know, still as a teenager, you know, they left him in Peoria all the way until the final month of the year. Now, I'm not saying Gorman's going to stay in Peoria, you know, until August, but point being, you know, they didn't rush guys out of there to Palm Beach, which is a tough place to hit. So, you know, there's others who think, well, shoot, just take Gorman and jump him all the way to Springfield and skip Palm Beach, which, you know, they've done with players like Bader and DeYoung. And, you know, so they've done that before. But remember, the Springfield roster is loaded with third base talent, too. I mean, they've got 2 prospects, you know, in Montero and Mendoza. So, you know, where do you play everybody? So, you know, there's a lot of reasons for the Cardinals to be patient with Gorman.
What did you think of Daniel Ponce de Leon last night making the jump back to the major leagues?
Daniel Ponce de Leon pitched his best game of the year so far. It wasn't that he was pitching badly at Memphis. He wasn't. But, I mean, he held this great-hitting Milwaukee Brewers team to a .118 batting average over his 5 innings. And, you know, and he didn't have a problem with walks, which has kind of been an issue with him at times. So, I mean, you look at that outing, which the Cardinals really, really needed. You know, he really stepped in and did a fine job. And, you know, as you mentioned on the telecast, you know, he's been there before. He's had success in the past. So, you know, but it's still a great boost. And to know that they've got him there as another guy who might be able to step in was a big deal. But, you know, let's not forget about Austin Gomber. I mean, part of the reason that Ponce de Leon got called up for this particular start was that's the way his pitching rotation lined up, the Memphis pitching rotation lined up. Austin Gomber's actually the guy who got named the Coast League Pitcher of the Week, last week. So, you know, Gomber had a great start last time out through a 7-inning shutout, 3 hits. So, you know, there's some options down in Memphis to help the Cardinals, and they're going to need that depth over the course of this long season.
What has Gomber done to improve over the last couple of starts? I've noticed the numbers are much better, and as you mentioned, he was the PCL Pitcher of the Week last week.
Well, he was efficient. I think his numbers, if I remember correctly, something like 55 of 87 pitches for strikes. He was throwing strikes. He only walked a couple of batters. And so, no, only walked one batter, excuse me, in that game. So, again, very, very efficient, very effective. So he was able to, you know, control the strike zone, minimize the number of pitches so that he could actually go 7 innings deep, which is a big, big deal because across the system from Memphis all the way down, the Cardinals' relief pitching this season has been really, really rough. You look across the 4 minor league affiliates, and only one of the teams has a team ERA that's below 5.
Wow. I did not see that. I want to go back to Daniel last night and the effectiveness of the fastball. And, you know, I pointed it out right away. Mike Maddux had mentioned to me that the fastball would be the key for him. And I go back to his debut against the Reds. He was challenging hitters with the fastball, just saying, here you go, go for it. And I'm curious if he was getting away from that at all in the minor leagues or what else he was trying to improve upon with his repertoire.
That's a good question, Dan. You know, and I don't want to say that there was a letdown, but let's face it, Gomber and Ponce de Leon both were significant contributors to St. Louis last year. And for them to not make the team, there had to be a little bit of a disappointment to have to go back to Memphis, even though nobody's going to admit that. But, you know, now Daniel's back up in the major leagues just like he was in that first outing. Okay, I got a chance to prove myself, and he came in with the right attitude. And I think, you know, one of the things you talked about was the mental toughness that he has to have given, you know, his injury history. And I think if he comes out and challenges hitters more often than not, he's going to succeed. As I mentioned, sometimes in the past where he got into trouble was with walks. So, you know, he throws strikes, he goes after the hitters, he's an effective pitcher. And I still think there's a place for him in St. Louis, although it's not clear yet that that's available right now.
Lane Thomas, he's made quite an impression on me, and it's not just the home run that he hit in his first major league at bat. I noticed it in spring. He was very good defensively, especially in center. And a couple days ago, he had a bases-loaded single that scored two, but it's his speed. I watched him go first to third. I've watched him make a sliding catch. I'm liking, Brian, what I see out of Lane Thomas. What are you seeing out of Lane?
Well, we've known about Lane Thomas for a long time. He's been the top 10 prospect in our system since last season. And when I talked to Thomas about it, because, you know, he joined the Cardinals system late in 2017, got hurt almost right away, so we didn't get to see much of him. So I asked him last season, okay, what was the difference? And he insists that the only thing that was different for him was health. So I went back and looked at the numbers. Over the prior, like, 2.5 seasons, he missed almost a whole year due to injuries. And so he's sort of like Tommy Pham in that way, that a guy, you know, tremendous tools, great talent, but for whatever reason couldn't stay healthy. And so in 2018, he actually not only led the system in home runs, RBI, tied with Tommy Edman in runs scored, but he led the system in plate appearances. And Lane Thomas was probably as proud of that as any of his accomplishments to say, hey, I could come out there every day and contribute. And I think, as you noted, the most impressive thing about Lane Thomas is his balance. He does not have any flaws in his game. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be a future MVP, but if you look at it, he's got power, he's got speed, he's a plus defender at a premium position in center field. He's a guy that's going to help the St. Louis Cardinals. And I don't know if he's, you know, be the starter in center field. Certainly Harrison Bader has that job. And he's not as good of a defender as Harrison, but he also doesn't have the limitation that Harrison has, which we know he struggles against right-handed pitching. And that's something that he's got to fix if he's going to be a long-term starter, he being Bader.
Jake Woodford, back to the rotation, had a very good spring. Cardinals are very high on this young man, a right-hander, that's starting to put it all together. What have you seen out of Jake so far in 2019?
You know, we talk about as we're coming into the season, we talked about this star-studded Memphis rotation, right? Gomber and Ponce de Leon, the veterans from, you know, with the experience in St. Louis. You've got the young guys, the left-hander Cabrera that the Cardinals picked up in the Tommy Pham trade, and Ryan Helsley, right? Two hard-throwing guys. And then you kind of forget about the fifth guy, Jake Woodford. But when you look at the Memphis rotation and the results this year, Woodford's the guy that's on the top of the leaderboard. 1.16 ERA, 143 batting average against, you know, extremely effective. Fastball, apparently his fastball is up a mile or two an hour over what it was. He's still, the one knock on him maybe is that he doesn't have a true out pitch. But, you know, when you allow less than one base runner per inning, you're going to be successful, and that's where Jake Woodford is right now. But unlike the other four, he does not have a roster spot. He doesn't have a 40-man roster spot. So of those five pitchers, even though he might be pitching the best right now, he's going to be last in line simply because the Cardinals would have to take somebody off the 40-man to put him on.
I'm curious, too, Brian, where has Tommy Edman primarily been playing? And he can play all, three of the four infield positions, probably four if he needed to. But how's he been faring thus far, and where has he been playing primarily?
New manager Ben Johnson at Memphis has pretty much installed Edmund as his everyday leadoff hitter. And he's been playing second base more than anything because a guy that we've talked about so much over the years, we've kind of forgotten about, and I'm talking about Edmundo Sosa. Sosa has been playing shortstop, and he's been playing exceptionally well, batting .333, Edmundo Sosa, a couple home runs, 8 RBI. And Sosa is an interesting guy because, again, unlike Edmund, Sosa has a roster spot, but this is his last option year. So Sosa has 2019 is really his last chance to prove that he has a future as a major leaguer. And, you know, it's only 17 games for him, but he's off to a very, very nice start, and he's a plus defender at shortstop. Sosa's a better shortstop than any of the other guys on the Memphis roster. So, you know, I can understand why they've got Edmund playing second base with Sosa playing so well.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com.
Hey, St. Louis, it's Matt Carpenter. The most rewarding thing for me is to be able to play in front of the best fans in baseball. A close second is the Snooks Rewards app because it simplifies my shopping. It helps me organize my shopping list by easily finding items that are organic, heart-healthy, whatever I'm looking for. There is also a really cool feature that helps you locate items in the store. So when you're looking for my salsa, just type in Mojo Salsa and the app will tell you where to find it. Simplify shopping. Download the Snooks Rewards app today.
Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men. On Friday night at 6 on Fox Sports Midwest Central Time, you can see the unveiling of the newest class of the Cardinals Hall of Fame. You're part of the committee that decides on some of the players that get looked at. How excited are you about what we may hear on Friday night?
Well, I'll be really excited if I hear the name Keith Hernandez called out, because I think, and again, you know, I've got a few gray hair on my head, so I've seen, you know, saw Keith Hernandez play a number of years where some of the folks maybe haven't, but I think he's a player that is definitely deserving in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. But no matter who goes in, the candidates are good, and we're going to see the two modern era candidates as well as one player from the veterans era that that the committee voted on and named, and that'll all be made public, as you said, on Friday night. And to commemorate that, I want to give to one listener here a combination tour pass. It's two tickets for a Busch Stadium tour and a Cardinals Museum visit. Has to be used in 2019, so don't go for this unless you're going to be able to go to Busch Stadium and to the Cardinals Museum this year. But if you go to the Cardinal Nation, our free message board forum, find the Scoops with Danny Mac thread, and enter Hall of Fame Scoops. The first person who does that, enters that on the site, will receive these two tickets for the Cardinals tour pass.
Very nice. Tell me what it was like in those conversations and talking and debating these types of players. What was it like for you?
Yeah, it's the first time. It was almost overwhelming because, you know, in those days, you know, Red was still with us. And so you've got Red and Whitey Herzog and Tony La Russa sitting around the table talking about these guys. And I'm thinking, you know, all right, I know a lot about the Cardinals' history, and, you know, I deserve to be here. But should my vote really be the same as Whitey Herzog's?
Of course it should.
I mean, it's really pretty amazing. And I, you know, the meetings last about half a day, three quarters of a day. I wish they could go on for hours because I'd just like to sit and listen to them tell stories.
I bet you do. That'll be exciting. And again, one more time, where do people have to go to get those tickets?
Come to the Cardinal Nation free message board, free forum, and look for the Scoops for Danny Mac thread. Hall of Fame Scoops, enter that. The first person who hears that, who hears my voice here, win these two tickets for the combination tour at Busch Stadium.
I was there yesterday and saw the exhibit on how equipment has changed over the years. And it'll blow you away seeing some of the equipment from 50, 60, 70 years ago. It's amazing how the game has changed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the tiny gloves with no padding and really no protection for the players as they bid. And I mean, it's amazing that the technology has continued to improve. As we see with Daniel Pasteleon, you can hardly tell, you know, he's got that liner in his cap, but it's important to protect the pitchers who are, you know, seeing these balls hit back at them 110, 115 miles an hour. It's impossible to react. So, you know, some of it is effectiveness, but some of it's player safety as well. And it's certainly very important. But, you know, even if you don't have time to go to the museum or you know, don't want to pay for an admission that day, remember the Cardinals Hall of Fame Gallery is in the lobby there, and you can see and read all the plaques, and that's completely free. And, you know, even if you only have 10 or 15 minutes before you go in to watch the game, it's worth your time to go up there and read about the great Cardinals of the team history.
Final question for you. Yesterday I was at a luncheon with Mike Shildt, and he said, you know, baseball has probably been around 150 years, and in the last 3 years, it's changed more in 3 years than it did in 147. And it was interesting. And one of the things that was asked of Mike was about the proposed idea of having a pitcher come in and face three batters. Now, that's being done in the minor leagues, correct?
Yes. And, you know, the game has survived very, very well, despite sometimes changes that maybe weren't in the best interest of the game. And I get all the interest of the commissioner in speeding up games. And sure, you know, all pitching changes late in the game can sometimes be onerous. But they've addressed a lot of that, at least in September, by making these changes to the roster sizes, which, by the way, is against, you know, prospects. Is something we'll talk about another time. But I mean, teams have to be careful with their pitching anyway, and that starters are going less and less deep into games. So I don't like the three-pitcher minimum. I think it's too extreme of an idea, and hopefully it won't make it to the majors.
What's it been like down in the minor leagues? Have guys adjusted?
Yeah. I don't, the pitch clock and all that, you know, people, they get used to it. You know, you just kind of get used to it and you adapt. I think one of the interesting things is that they're, you know, using baseballs in AAA. And so one of the things that's, you know, home runs are way up in AAA as well. Talked about, you know, the Cardinals' struggles with pitching, although the pitching has been much more difficult at Springfield and Peoria than it has at Memphis. But, you know, the minor leaguers have shown they've been pretty, you know, adapted to change. Now, the stuff that they're going to do, you know, they're going to test in the Atlantic League, like, you know, moving the mound back and some of that stuff, I think is way out there. But, hey, you know, we'll see.
Brian, as always, these Wednesdays are fun, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Talk to you then, Dan.